Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation. Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite podcast about animation. So we kind of are changing plans a little bit this week. We were originally going to do How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but we changed it. And we kind of have something more special for you, I think. So we recently came into contact with a music artist who is named Telco, and the artist behind it is Michael Gilbride, who Gilbride. I guess you sponsored Gilbride?
Gilbride.
Either or.
Gilbride.
I go by either.
I'm so sorry. Who did you sponsor this music video, or like how is it that you like you were like, hey man, I just really want a music video about this?
Yeah, this was our debut single. I say our, but it was really just me. This was my debut single, and a lot of the artwork that we were putting out at the time, it was like there was like a little bit of a veil between me as the artist and then the audience. And so when we were deciding like what kind of music video we wanted to put together, the idea of just filming me like, you know, doing some random music video seemed kind of odd. So I kind of wanted that disintermediation to still be there. So animated music videos were kind of the thing right now. And so we started looking for an animator and then came across Sabrina, and her work was amazing. So we brought her on to do the music video. And then over a course of a couple months, it kind of really came to life.
Wow. See, that's awesome. So that's when, you know, Sabrina came on. Sabrina Valdez, who's the animator for this music video called Say Hello. And it is a great song. It's got great music video to it. And we, you know, we've got the artists here to talk about it. So with that said, you guys want to kind of maybe introduce yourselves real quick and tell us about your career, maybe like where you're at, like what's next real quick, something.
Yeah, Sabrina, you could go ahead.
Oh, sure. Hi, my name is Sabrina Valdez. I am an animator, 2D animator specifically. But I appreciate all forms of animation. I graduated from school a couple years ago, and I'm just on my career path to working in animation. I've freelanced for several different studios before. Telco was my recent project, working on the Say Hello music video. It was my first time directing a music video as well, which is really cool, and it was a great experience, and I'm super thankful to Michael for bringing me on, because it was just like, it was a really fun and great project, and I feel like the overall outcome came out looking really nicely. In terms of my work, I love animating, but I also really love illustrating a lot. And to combine like my passion for animation and my love for illustration, I like to mostly focus my work in background artwork for a lot of animations and whatnot. So I guess, yeah, in the future, I'd love to just like work for a studio or whatever, and just specifically being like a background designer, background artist and whatnot. But I just love doing a lot of like the behind the scene work on animation, the pre-production stuff.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, my name's Michael Gilbride. I'm originally from Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's where I'm at now. I don't know if any fans of The Office, but that's where I'm at. I was working for a couple years out in the New York City area in finance. Actually, I was working on Wall Street. And I was working on music on the side, and I always knew that this was my passion, that ultimately I was going to transition. I was going to hopefully take the money I was making in finance and use it to kind of put it towards a career in music, which is ultimately what I wanted to do. So in the middle of the pandemic in March, I quit my job, which is not advisable looking back now. But I quit my job in March and started Telco. I recorded an EP from my home in Scranton. And we put that out in September. The lead single was Say Hello, which is what this music video was for. And an interesting couple months trying to sort of get this music project off the ground. And so I'm super thankful to have like a talented animator like Sabrina, and being able to bring the music video to life was huge for us. And it's been doing great so far, so we're really excited about it.
Awesome. Glad you guys have joined us today. So Garrison, you want to ask our first question?
Sure. So your lead single, Say Hello, is you on Spotify, it says that the meaning behind it is it's like the conflict between wanting to be alone and like wanting to share your life with someone. And my question is, how did you arrive at that idea?
Yeah, so at the time that I was writing the song, it was like post a pretty big breakup. And I was kind of going through a bunch of really lousy relationships, and it sort of felt like Groundhog's Day. It felt like I was kind of just repeating the same process over and over again of like 3 weeks in a relationship or something like that. It would inevitably fall apart, and felt like I was kind of like destined to do that for forever. But ultimately, as time went on, I sort of realized that like each relationship I was going through, I was kind of finding myself a little more and working through my baggage that you kind of bring through a relationship. So the song is kind of like the push and pull between that first idea, which is feeling like you're destined to do this for forever, and then the second idea that if you continue to persist and you keep looking for that someone who's going to make that process worth it, that ultimately you'll end up finding someone who sort of makes it all worth it in the end. And so those ideas are kind of at conflict with one another, and so I tried to reflect that in the song. You kind of have the more melancholy verses, and then that's kind of juxtaposed with this somewhat hopeful choruses. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because like I totally got that feeling from the song. So I guess you did a good job there.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it kind of sounds like this is almost like when you're talking, I kind of got this Scott Pilgrim vibe, in that you gained experience through each of your like failed attempts, but they're not useless. They had to like paying off and like towards them.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool.
That's sort of what the title "Say Hello" was kind of about. It was like, it was really sort of like an act of faith, in the sense of if I keep going through this process and I keep learning from it, eventually I'll find something. And I didn't know if that was true or not, and that's why there's a lot of like that conflict in the song, because it's a nice idea, but I didn't really know if that was going to actually end up happening. But if I kept repeating that to myself, like that "Say Hello," that like go out there and put yourself out there and keep searching, it was sort of like my way of convincing myself that, you know, these relationships were going to be worth it.
That's great. Can I ask how you two met?
Yeah, so we were just in the search for an animator. We ran into one animator that we were working with. Ultimately, he wasn't able to do it, and so he referred us to a couple. And we, Sabrina being one of them, and we reached out to her. And she sent us her portfolio, which was just amazing. And we jumped on the phone with her, and immediately I felt like a perfect fit. And so we just offered the job to her right away to not only animate, but direct and kind of take creative license. So she ran with it from there.
Okay. So there wasn't like sort of like, there's some freelancing sites I know a lot of animators choose to go to, Sabrina. So It wasn't like you literally were just like, yeah, I know an animator.
Yeah.
And it was through that means. Okay.
Yes. Which that actually is kind of the most common way a lot of animators get jobs, especially with like big projects. You kind of just have to know the right person. We constantly keep in contact with people that we've met in school, like other alumni, or people that we meet at like film festivals and whatnot. It's just really good to keep your contacts, because you just never know what happens.
Right. Awesome.
All right. Okay. So I guess this is for both of you, kind of, I guess. What inspired like the look of the movie?
I would say Sabrina's probably best to handle that one.
Oh, I figured I was gonna let Michael take this, because he was definitely the one who gave me a lot of info on what he wanted it to look like. Specifically in terms of like the colors, he gave me a color palette to use for it. He kind of described to me what kind of imagery he wanted. So like, you know, like the city was included in that. He wanted ghost people or something similar to like phantoms. Like he would kind of give me throw a lot of vague ideas up at me, and I would just be like, okay, let's see what we can come up with this. But in terms of like colors and environment, he definitely helped a lot with that, because I think he, from the get-go when he was writing this song, he told me he had a look of what he wanted the music video to be like.
Yeah, I think with Telco as a whole, we released like artwork for each of the singles that we put out, and we tried to be pretty consistent in terms of like the feel that you would get when you listen to our song, and we wanted that to be consistent with the art as well. Like, we didn't want it to jump around too much, so we had like an idea of like the general feel and the general color palette that we sort of associated with the feel of the song. And so I just passed that along to Sabrina, and we had like a storyline and just sort of some vague ideas and concepts, and then I kind of gave that to Sabrina and sort of gave her creative license, really bring it to life. And so she took these kind of vague concepts that I had, or like sort of half-baked or ideas and feelings, and sort of made it into art.
That actually makes me want to ask if like a follow-up question. So did the music video come first, or was it like the idea of it that came first and then the music video, and then the music and then the video, like, or was it
so
like you had your music first and then you were like, hey, I need a music video to go with this?
Yeah, so the music was out. We actually put the song out on August 14th. It was our lead single in September. And the music video didn't come out until about 2 weeks ago now. So we had the song for a long time before the music video. We just knew that it being our lead single, we wanted to have like a piece of artwork attached to it more so than just the single artwork. And so that's when me and my manager were kicking around the idea of getting a music video. But I knew that if we were going to go down that route, especially with animation, that it was going to have to be done perfectly in order for it to be sort of worth the time and the effort. And so when we got it back, we were just so pumped that it had turned out and that Sabrina had done an amazing job. It was just.
So I think, why did you, well, I guess it's for either of you too, but why did you choose animation for the video, or like, why did you choose animation for your job? That's what I was thinking. Like, that would be that question.
Do you want me to go first, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So for animation, why I chose animation as a career. Well, this dates way back to ancient times. So, when I was a kid, I was like 10 years old. I don't know. Did anyone here have a Nintendo DSi? Like,
yeah,
back,
yeah,
in the,
of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was an app, I guess, or like a little game you could call on the Nintendo DSi called, Flipnote Hatena. And it was basically like, a beginner's animation thing where you could only use like two types of pens, two colors only, you had a limited amount of time. But God, did like my child brain just implode from like the amount of creativity I could do with it. And I ended up getting really into animation. And like, even before that, I watched a lot of cartoons growing up, and I watched cartoons into my teens. And by cartoons, I mean, I turned into a weeb because I watched so much anime growing up. Yeah, yeah, we're getting into this. I watched so much anime. I still kind of do. I read a lot of manga growing up. So I've just always been to the whole creative art form as a whole for the longest time. So it was no surprise to anyone that I ended up wanting to choose this as my career path. I got my first drawing tablet when I was in, I think, like 7th grade. And so I've been making digital art since then. And yeah, it's just always been something I've been passionate about. So,
yeah. And as far as the video itself, I knew when I was putting together this music project that I didn't want to Michael Gilbride, the artist, because a lot of times if you're a solo artist and you just use your name, you tend to get pigeonholed into like singer-songwriter. You know, I'd have to be posting like 600 selfies a day, and like it becomes very exhausting pretty quickly. And so I knew that I wanted there to be sort of like a veil between me, the artist, and then the audience, just because by doing that, it allows the people to sort of listen to the music and relate themselves to the music, instead of thinking that every song that I write is a story about my life. They tend to sort of impose their own life onto the song. And so to put in that work with the music and with the artwork, and then go out and shoot a traditional music video felt somewhat like disingenuous. And so we were looking for sort of a more artistic way to go about it. And so the idea of animation just seemed like the perfect fit.
Cool. Well, I guess that segues us into the next question. Where does Telco come from?
Yeah, so the word itself doesn't really mean much of anything, which is exactly why I chose it. If you work in finance, I guess it means telecommunication. But for a lot of people, they don't have a strong association with the word telco, which is makes it perfect for me to sort of adopt and now say, okay, well, this is associated with my music. This is what my, this word means my music project. So I wish I had like a more romantic story than that, but that's really kind of what it boiled down to, was sort of finding something that I could adopt as my own that would allow me to go out as Telco instead of being Michael Gilbride, the singer-songwriter.
It's like Deadmau5. You like, everybody knows Deadmau5. So
exactly.
That's exactly, it's your brand. Although I do like the idea of like telecommunications, like it's kind of what you're doing. You're eating through airwaves.
Yeah, that was like the little added side benefit, is that it somewhat relates to what I'm doing anyway. So it's like a nice little kicker.
I like that. So
I have a follow-up question. Okay. All right, so you mentioned that like telco is not Michael. So is the character in the music video Telco, or is it Michael, or is it like neither?
That's actually a really good question. Because that was something that I was kind of consciously trying to build, was through the artwork, the single artwork, like the album cover. I always wanted it to be almost like a reflection of my life, but not my life completely. Like the way I compare it to people is like, I don't know if anybody watches Stranger Things, but it's like the upside down of my world was what Telco would be. So it's almost, it's not like an alter ego because that sounds cheesy, but it's like almost a reflection of my life where I can have more sort of creative influence over. So the character in the music video is very, it's very autobiographical, and a lot of the influences for the video were based on my life and out in New York City. But again, there's that creative license to kind of change a few things that allows me to kind of make the song more, add emphasis to certain parts of the song.
So is it kind of like an avatar in that it's not you, but it has characteristics of you, but you have more freedom with it, so you don't have to be like pigeonholed?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what that allows too is, again, to go back to like my prior point, when other people listen to the song, they're allowed to sort of impose their own life over this character instead of always thinking that every song that I write is about me. I sort of wanted to like universalize the meaning of the song a little bit more, so people could kind of, because that was always my favorite music and why I fell in love with music, was projecting my own life and my own situations onto other songs. So to have it all about my life seemed not what I was interested in.
Okay, so what are some of your musical influences? Especially, I think I'm more curious now that you kind of have told us more about the music video. Where, you know, who are some of the big artists you like and you follow?
I think main influences would be Bon Iver. He's like personal hero of mine. Another one who actually, it's Justin Vernon. He's the artist behind Bon Iver, but he chose Bon Iver sort of for similar reasons. Bleachers. New Jersey band Bleachers, which is again Jack Antonoff, but he chose the Bleachers for his project. I'm a big fan of AWOL Nation, which is another person who chose like a moniker. The Lumineers, I think vocally, I was always trying to embody Wesley Schultz from the Lumineers. I would say those are probably my.
That's cool. Actually, Sabrina, do you have any animator or artist influence?
I do. It's not a lot of times I can't remember their names. It's definitely like not, I can't think of any big artists off the top of my head, like big studio artists you might think of. But one of my favorite artists on social media right now, his name is Ramon Nunez, who's a Spanish artist, I believe. And he's just absolutely incredible. And he takes a lot of inspiration from, with his work, from a lot of anime, like Fooly Cooly and such, and Akira, which are also like some of my biggest influences too. I think especially Akira, that's just one of my favorite movies of all time. Just like all the stylistic decisions with everything, the whole aesthetic of that movie, it really heavily inspires me. Another one of my favorite like artists, Atsushi Okubo, who created Soul Eater. He's definitely one of my biggest influences. And Inio Asano, who created Oyasumi Pun Pun, the manga. So a lot of like anime manga stuff, but they definitely inspired my style a lot growing up. It's what like kind of made me decide to start like developing my art style more rather than just keeping on drawing anime girls over and over again. I was kind of just like, oh, hey, I should work on like figure drawing and drawing hands and stuff like that. And like telling a conventional story through artwork.
Sabrina, so you mentioned your love of like manga and stuff.
Yeah.
Pun pun. Have you seen the Manbin series?
No. What is that?
It's about this. What's this?
It's called Manbin. You said.
Yes, Manbin. So it's about this manga artist who interviews other manga artists, and it's like a documentary series.
Oh, okay.
And the guy that made Pun Pun is on one of the episodes, and
ooh.
It basically goes through his process, like his creative process, and it shows him drawing and stuff. And it's a pretty cool series. I think that sounds like something you might.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah, and this is sort of a follow up on a comment that you made earlier, but I was kind of thinking that people that are into cartoons and animation are kind of like big children. Like we kind of don't grow up really.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Definitely. It's like a big appreciation of the medium as a whole too. And I think it's good to also encourage the idea that animation or like cartoons isn't just like for children either, you know, like it's something that should be appreciated as well.
Yeah. I think that's a really big problem, in the West, because like in Europe and in the East, that doesn't really seem to be much of a problem, but for us, there's like a stigma. And when we do get adult stuff, it's like still childish in how it's like basically just like sex stuff and like raunchy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think we have a long way to go in terms of adult animation in the West.
Yeah, it's definitely getting there over time, especially like nowadays. I'm going to sound like a grandpa saying this, but back in my day, we used to get bullied for watching anime. Anime's mainstream now. So...
Yeah, that's the truth, though. Everyone, I know.
Yeah,
I had to hide my weebness for so long.
I didn't hide it, but that didn't mean I didn't face the consequences for it. Now they can all wear their Boku no Hero Academia shirts at going to school and loud and proud, and they'll like yell at each other down the hallway and stuff, acting like it's nothing. You crazy kids!
Well, good for them. We, yeah, you know,
I'm happy for them. It's
we paved
so
the way
exactly.
to allow them.
Exactly. Like 13-year-old me would be so happy to know that this is how it is now.
I would just add too, like as an animation outsider, as someone who wasn't very well versed in all of this, like with our video that Sabrina made, like it's like emotional and it's moving in a way that if we did it with real actors and stuff like that, might have been very difficult to kind of portray. And so like the stigma of like it being a cartoony or whatever, like you can really lay on some serious emotion onto these characters that you create. It's just a matter of if you're willing to like open up your mind a little bit to do that. And so like when we got this video back, it was like, you know, it was emotional for us to look at and like to watch it. It's moving. And I don't think that necessarily would have translated if we tried to shoot it in, you know, reality.
It would have been like disassociating, like kind of what you said, like it's just not real for me.
Yeah.
I get that. I can definitely get that.
Even if we replicated it with like, if we had some crazy budget and we did some amazing CGI, it wouldn't have the intimacy that the two-dimensional characters have in this video.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because when I first watched this, honestly, I was kind of meh, but I watched it like a second and third and fourth time, and like, I started to like tear up. Like it was really
thank you.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I think that's probably a fault of the song, which I hear a lot. Is like the first time you listen to the song, it's like okay, it's fine. And then as you listen a couple more times, it takes time to like sort of work its way in, which is the kind of the music that I wanted to make. And so to have a video that replicates that, and not only replicates it, but adds that emotional impact on top of it. Being able to see it visually for me as the artist who wrote the song and is trying to get this idea that's been in my head out, to see it visually, especially with something that I didn't create myself, is, I mean, it's like it's moving.
So yeah, when you first saw the music video, what was going through your head? Because I can imagine, like, if I was a creator, seeing my creation come to life in that way, it would be very emotional, because, you know, you, like you said, you wrote the song. It's obviously kind of like a more melancholy song, so it brings out certain tones, but I can imagine the deviser of this, like, you probably felt very strongly about this.
Yeah, it goes sort of two different ways depending on who you work with. So as a solo artist, right, like, I put my final stamp on everything, because it's all comes from me. So as soon as you invite someone else into that creative process, like, my anxiety tends to go up, because now suddenly what's in my head may not mesh up exactly with the person that you're working with. And so sometimes that's a stressful process, but when you work with very talented people who are able to get what's inside your head out in a way that you wouldn't have been able to yourself, whether that's with a producer with your own music, or in this case, Sabrina being the animator and the director, like, when you get that back and it hits the exact spot that you were trying to get out when you wrote the song, it's like, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's like a moving sort of emotional moment.
Was it hard for you, Sabrina, to manifest things that, or like to kind of portray everything that Mike was kind of putting out there? Or like, did you have to reach in and try and pull from your own memories or your own experiences to kind of give him what he was asking for? Or how was the process for you?
It wasn't difficult at all. I think it's very easy just for me as a person to really absorb what people are trying to describe, and I guess think hard about what they want and kind of just like put on paper, I guess, what they're feeling in their head. And it is a relatable song. And like, he told me from the start, like, what the meaning of the song was behind everything about the story, and how the song kind of came to him when he was going through a rough breakup. And it's like, I've been through a rough breakup before too. So I think it's easy to resonate with those kinds of feelings. And I find it hard to put my own ideas out on paper, and I find it easier somehow to put other people's ideas on paper. And that's really the kind of skill you need when it comes to working on someone else's project, is just to keep in mind that this is their project. And while you can put your own artistic input into it, like, at the end of the day, it's still like a lot of their creative in it. So,
yeah. And I would just add to that, like, for me, I knew that if I was bringing on a talented artist like Sabrina, I knew whether it fit my vision or not, it was going to be a good product. So I knew even if at the end of the day it wasn't exactly perfect, I'd be okay with that. So when I did get it back and it did match what I had in my head, it was even more powerful. And like, to give you like a specific example, like, at the end of the video, this ghost that's haunted him all day and has followed him everywhere, and when he's holding hands with the ghost at the end, he rubs her hand a little bit. And the first time I saw that, I was like, it captured the whole essence of the song in like 0.2 seconds on something that I never would have thought of myself visually. And so to have an artist outside of yourself capture that visually, it was pretty cool.
Lacey, she was an animator, right, for this music video?
Yes. Lacey is one of my best friends from college. We were roommates since our freshman year and just happened to be in the same major. When I needed help with the animation on the music video, I immediately just called her on to it, because she's also like an extremely talented animator, I'd say more so than myself. So I just knew, like, I knew she was the one who I wanted to help me. So I essentially just gave her a couple shots, which were storyboarded out already. And I just told her what kind of movement I needed. A lot of it was difficult movement, such as there was one shot in the music video where towards the end where he like comes home and he's like, the camera's at like a kind of like downward perspective and he's like walking across the hallway. And like, I was just thinking to myself, like, God, why did I decide to do this? This is going to be so hard to animate it. I know, I'll just give it to Lacey. So, because I know she could pull it off so much better than I could. Yes, I brought her on to help me.
All right, so this music video was like 4 minutes or something, I think. And like two people, like, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will add, when we were we actually talked with a couple studios when we were like trying to get this going, and I had multiple people tell me like, get out of here, like this is not doable in this time range. So when we were talking to Sabrina, I was like, I knew I was asking for a lot, and I kind of stressed that up front to her. That was like, please, like, if you just help me out, hopefully like down the road we'll have some success and we can both benefit from it. So the fact that she got this done in the time frame over a course of like, you know, 3 months or something, amazes me. So, because a lot of studios said they weren't going to do that. So it's the value of the independent artist.
Yeah. That's when it comes to just like long projects like that, it's just really hard to get people on board, especially when it's just like an individual's creative. Like, unless you're like swimming in cash, then it's really hard to just get other people on board.
Which we weren't either.
So there's a, you know, I think we can kind of talk about the music itself a little bit, and some of the characters, especially. So the girl, the woman, she's a woman, right? Like, I'm assuming she's a woman, not like a child.
Yep.
And so is she not have eyes for, is there a reason behind that?
I'll kick that one to.
Yeah, that was a stylistic choice I just decided to do, simply because I think it was best to not give her any kind of identity. And a lot of that comes within like eyes. For example, like, you see a lot of movies, people try to hide their identities. They wear like sunglasses or something like that. Or like when you do those interviews and it's supposed to be an anonymous person, they like usually blur out the eyes first. So that was just a stylistic choice I wanted to do, especially just for the flashbacks and just overall her character. I think there was like only one flashback where I decided to give her eyes. And that was like, I think the more emotional one. That was the one where they were holding hands together. And that was the only one where they were in the same like frame in a flashback.
I think they're so close too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so close. So, yeah.
Is she dead? That's the real question.
I was waiting for this. I think this is the only question I can't answer. I
cannot. Is she dead? Is she not dead?
Is she dead? Is she not dead? Should she leave him? Did she die? It's all very much up in the.
Is he just like on drugs?
No. Yeah. There's a lot of interpretation.
That's the big question. Like, is he really on drugs? Because that's where my noggin goes.
Well, I can't answer the dead question, but I will say that like the whole goal for the music video that like I stressed to Sabrina was like, I wanted it to come off as if this is something that happens every day to this character. And so you could see that because the first shot is him opening his eyes and the last shot is him closing his eyes. And so, and then the monotony of going to work and everything that he goes about his daily routine, I wanted it to have that Groundhog's Day kind of feel to it, where it's like, this is something that this guy goes through every day, where it's like, it takes all day for him to be able to finally like banish this ghost or finally get to the point where he can close his eyes and get some rest. So he definitely looks exhausted. I think that comes across in the character.
Guys, talk about like some of the effects. Like, so there's a lot of like 3D effects I feel that are in this video. There's like, I don't know if you meant to do this, Sabrina, but there's like this like in red dynamic makes it seem like it's like, it looks like the traditional 3D, like with the glasses, like that kind of vibe. Did you mean to do that? Or was that like something?
Yes, I absolutely meant to do that. And that effect is actually called chromatic aberration. And it's something I like to incorporate in actually all of my artwork. It's a stylistic choice. I just love the look of it, chromatic aberration, and whether it's like the red and blue or if it's green and magenta. It was just something that I thought looked really cool, and the grain was also intentional. Everything was for the most part intentional. Just as like, I guess kind of when you look at like a film photo, like an old film photo, you tend to see a lot of that chromatic aberration in it. So I wanted to kind of give it that kind of vintage style. I think that's the word for it.
And I definitely feel like it has like that dreamlike vibe. It feels like, sorry, Garrison, wanting to say, but it definitely feels like a dream.
Well, right, right. So the effects like a VHS kind of feel, like a film grainy old feel. Well, I think that like really adds to the music video and the feel of the song, because the song sort of feels like a time gone by kind of feel, where like reminisce of the good times, both or both good and bad times. And it's almost like you're reviewing a memory through a VHS tape or something. And I think that's really.
Yeah, I think for me specifically, one of the most powerful things for me is like nostalgia. I always feel like that's extremely potent. And if you can kind of try and capture that in a song, then it could be very powerful. And so with a lot of like the vocal samples that are in the background of this girl speaking, that's kind of what we were going for. And so sort of going back to what I was saying before about like when Sabrina took it into her own world, like you can see as the song progresses and as it gets more intense, that those flashbacks actually start to almost dissolve a little bit and get more grainy and almost start to like collapse in on themselves a little bit, which is really great because that was sort of what I was trying to replicate with the vocal samples as well. They get more intense, they get more distorted, and they get more like aggressive as you get more towards like the climax of the song. So to have that replicated with these like sort of dissolving memories was really cool to see as well.
So I think I've got a couple of like last questions, but do you want to ask your big question?
Oh yeah, this thing is a mouthful. What is this question? All right, okay, so the city is empty, right? But usually when you think of a city, you think of like a populated place. But there are these like ghosts, and I guess what I'm trying to like convey, like, was it intentional for like the city being barren, because that like sort of conveys the contrast of like having a city that's populated or not populated and one that is, because
what's your question?
I think I can speak to it, and if I don't answer your question, maybe you can reframe it if you want. I don't think so much it was focused on the amount of people in the city, but so much the lack of identity of the people in the city was more important. So in the video, there's certainly like a lot of characters at certain points. There's like a ton of those like phantom people on the screen at one time, but they're all completely uniform. And so sort of the comment that we were sort of making was more so based on identity and self-expression. It's sort of similar to why at the beginning of the music video, he chooses the white shirt among the sea of white shirts. And it's not until he gets home at the end of the day that he actually puts on something distinct and something uniform and something that has some sort of self-expression. So the city itself is the emptiness and like the barrenness and the uniformity and kind of plainness or staleness of it was intentional, but more so through the lens of like lack of identity and self-expression. I don't know if Sabrina has any more to add on that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And also, I guess to also add to it, because I definitely based like the city off of like the feel of New York City, especially since, you know, Michael was saying how this is at the time where he was like, you were working on Wall Street, right? When a lot of these ideas came to you. So the thing about like being in the city is that like you kind of don't really pay attention to anyone else's around you. You just walk fast, go to your destination, go back, ignore everything that's around you. So in some ways, like, I think the barren city kind of incorporates into that idea, or especially like with the ghosts, because at the end of the day, you're not going to be paying attention to whoever's around you unless you're a tourist, obviously. But if you like live in the city, then you kind of know that feel of just like no one, you just kind of just keep to yourself.
Okay, that's perfect, because like that was sort of what I was trying to say. So like the city, so sometimes like when you're in a crowded space, that's when you can feel the loneliest, right? And I was thinking that like okay, I have no idea what I'm saying, so I'm just gonna move on.
I think you're right, and I think that another thing too is that when you're surrounded by that many people who similarly dislike their jobs or have no sense of fulfillment or whatever, it's very difficult to work on yourself and to address your own baggage or sort of like exercise whatever demons you're trying to work on at that time if you're constantly miserable. And so you know, he's haunted all day by this ghost, and it's not until he gets home and that he has like some sort of self-expression or identity that he's able to actually like fall asleep. So I think you're right on the head on that.
I don't see how, because that was incoherent and a mess. Sarah.
Okay. So I think these are like probably my last question to you guys, but I really like, what do you guys have planned for the future? Do you guys want to do like another music with which that is also animated? What is the goal for Helco?
Yeah. So we put out that EP in September. So we're still, you know, promoting the, ideally we want to go play live shows as soon as we're allowed to do so. So we've been trying to just sort of build our fan base. This was really our, like, my introduction to the world. So we've been sort of trying to get a fan, hopefully get to the point where we can start touring and playing some live shows. As far as animation goes, that's up to Sabrina, hopefully down the road. When she's ready to take on another plate of work, we'll revisit that. But I mean, for me, you know, getting my music across in that sort of medium was perfect for what I was trying to accomplish. So I would love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, same here. We've discussed, I think before, like that we could totally work together again for any future music videos that he has, any new songs, EPs, singles, whatever this is. Hopefully I'd be available at the time. And I guess we'll just see where it goes from here, you know?
Well, all right, so feel free to plug your socials real quick. Thank you guys again for joining us here at Saga. We thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It is an honor.
Thank you for having us. It's nice to come on and talk. So thank you so much for supporting it. And Sabrina, you plug yours first because you directed it. So
sure. So again, my name is Sabrina Valdez. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter's not that set up yet, but my art Instagram is at NokiBay2, which is NokiBay, and the number 2. And then I'm going to plug in Lacey's social media too, since she's not here to do it herself. Lacey Kreich at Lacey Kreich Art, which is LaceyKraich Art, A-R-T. Sorry. Yeah, check us out. Thanks.
Yep, and I'm Michael Gilbride. My music project is Telco. Debut EP is My Name Is Not Kaiser. It's a 4-song EP. Check it out. And my Instagram is at Telco_music. T-E-L-C-O. But thank you again for having us. I'm super happy to do it.
All right. So on to the retrospective. Thank you guys for listening and hear about 2020.
This is a small segment of the song Say Hello by Telco.
They're covering bones, hazy feeling from another thrill. Gravel covered hill outside my home. Please don't let me know you sally slow. I could testify alone. Neck is burning, guilty sin still. Do with me what you will.
Welcome back to Saga. This is our 2020 retrospective, and this year has been a pretty big year for everybody, I think, you know, so, and especially here at Saga, I think we've had a pretty large success here this year, you know, despite of everything going on. So we just wanted to take a moment to wrap up everything we've done this year, look back, and remember all the finest moments. So Garrison, what was your favorite episode of this year?
Favorite episode of 2020? I would definitely say our Shin Godzilla, one of the first ones that we did this year featuring David. That one was a devil's advocate, and I thought that one was really fun.
Was that the one where I was like against Shin Godzilla and you were for Shin Godzilla?
No, you were for it and okay. I was against it.
That was fun. I do remember that conversation. That was a good one. And then I remember David was kind of the middleman. He was the neutral person.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we do plan on doing a Neon Genesis show sometime. Hopefully in 2021, because that's something that David wanted to be a part of. So you can look forward to that in 2021, probably.
Heck yeah. So my favorite of this year was probably Paprika. I don't know why, but that movie, like, I think it was just like the conversation that we had. Like, I remember feeling like this was like a really good conversation. I liked that podcast. That was a good one.
Yeah. A conversation about dreams, I guess there's like, because it's dreams, it's like it has infinite possibilities. So, makes sense. And plus that one was one where we sort of went into the creative process of the director and like the movie itself, and it was interesting, definitely.
Right. And like we've seen other stuff by the director, and it's such an amazing person and director, and I think that was a good one because it helped me understand, I think, their process a little bit more. So what is the favorite thing that you've watched that we've done a podcast on this year?
Rilakkuma and Kaoru. I really like that one. Like, that one is so heartwarming and endearing. Love the animation style for that. And I think there's something planned for 2021. I think I read some article about that recently. So I'm looking forward to that. And there was also A Silent Voice, which was with the deaf girl and her ex-bully, and I thought that was a really interesting and endearing story.
That one's a tearjerker for sure.
Right. And Daro Hedoro is awesome, and I'm planning on like reading the manga soon. So yeah, like I really like that. Like it had a cool blend of like colorful but grungy and like humorous and serious. Definitely.
That was one of my favorites too, actually. I had Ni no Kuni was on my list, Dorohu Doro, and Onward was on my list. I really liked Onward simply because it was just a good movie. It was so good. And it was so cute. And then, you know, Dorohu Doro is, like you said, just super cool. Which, by the way, I joined a Facebook group for Dorohu Doro fans. And it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Like, what is?
And then Ni no Kuni. Sorry, what?
Oh, what is the Facebook group? Like, what do they do?
They literally just post everything Dorohu Doro. Like, they'll post gyoza, like pictures of gyoza they made, or like picture, like fan art pictures of like, you know, some of the main characters, especially what is her name? The big busty healer chick.
Noi,
yes. Especially her. She's one of the most popular ones. She's best girl. And then yeah, and then Ni no Kuni, I don't know why, but I got really into that series really hard and even like bought the game. So that one's on my list.
So you played the games?
I played the game for Switch because I don't have Nintendo anything else.
Okay, so you with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you played it. So how was that experience?
It's hard. It's not an easy game.
do you play these kinds of games often, or do you not?
I think
RPGs.
I used to play a lot of games, but because I don't have time, I don't get a chance to, like, I'm really rusty, I'll say that. So it takes me a long time to get through games.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's like one thing I'm thinking about, like, being a kid, like, you take for granted just how much, like, free time that you have, and, like, you're able to just play these long games, but I don't really, like, those, like, long story games are, like, some of my favorite, but I don't get to, like, play them as much as I want to, so. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't afford to get sucked in by the amazing... Anyway, yeah, let's just move on before I start crying about Ni No Kuni. Anyway. What is your favorite thing that you've seen that didn't make an episode?
Space Jungle is an underappreciated gem, and it's not really, like, there's not really much, like, content about it.
What is Space Jungle?
It's on Netflix, and it's about these four aliens, it's silent, like some of the, things that we've talked about this year. So,
like, the illusionist, you know, was
right, and they sort of speak in, like, grunts and stuff, or like squeaks and like chirps and stuff. So there are these four tiny aliens, like, that they're like five or 6 inches tall, and their spaceship lands, and they're in the forest, and, like, sometimes they're in this man's house, and they're it's sort of like a slice of life thing, where basically they're just, like, trying to, like, not die from a duck or a spider, and they're just trying to get food and stuff. It's really cute and charming.
Okay, maybe I'll check that out.
Yeah, and it's really, like, it's a really short series. The episodes are, like, 5, 6, 7 minutes long, so you can speed through it, like, in an afternoon or something. Scissor Seven, I really like that one. That's a Chinese animation. Really funny. I like the concept. No news of a third season. Like, I don't really see anything about that, so. Unfortunately, it looks like it's, like, kind of canceled, I guess. But the seasons that we did get was really charming, and the girl who I think, like, she had cancer, right? There was a girl, she had cancer, and that and, like, some of the backstories, like, with, I forget her name, but the assassin. She, like, had, like a really tragic backstory, and how the series can, like, go from these serious things to, like, life to lighthearted fun is really interesting. And last, The Promised Neverland. So this series actually came out in 2019, but I didn't get around to it, and I watched it this year, and then I liked it so much I started to read the manga. And the second season's coming out next year, so I'm looking forward to that.
That one's messed up, I'm gonna be honest with you. That is a messed up anime or manga, but it's amazing.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of have mixed feelings about what I've read, and I actually dropped the series, so... So hopefully the anime does better, but yeah, like, a awesome first season.
Interesting. Okay. Some of mine that I've seen this year that we didn't really talk about were And these come from all over, I think, different. Most of these are newer, but I think one of them is like older that just got put on Netflix and I was like really into it for some reason. But anyway, so, you know, Drifting Dragons was really good. That's like a 3D animation that was on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Super cool. They basically hunt dragons and eat them, which is really interesting because who would eat a dragon? Anyway, and then Kipo in the Age of the Wonder Beasts. That's a really good animation. I really liked Children of the Sea. That was interesting. I think, Garrison, I think if there's an anime that you should watch Children of the Sea. And then I also watched Megalobox, which was like a single season anime about a boxer. And I don't know why, but I would watch this when I worked out and it really like, it made my workouts better.
So is that the one where he has sort of like an afro kind of thing and it looks older than what it actually is?
Yes. He reminds me of like it reminds me of like Samurai Champloo, but about boxing.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen stuff about that. So back to Children of the Sea. So you said that I should watch it?
You should definitely watch it.
Is it something that you think I'd like or...
Yes.
Yeah, like it's definitely been on my radar, but I'll probably add that to something that I didn't. So I guess that's a good segue into our next section. Stuff you wanted to see but didn't get a chance to this year. And I would actually add that to that list, Children of the Sea, as well as the HBO Max miniseries that's airing right now, the Adventure Time Distant Lands. And it's been like 2 years, I think, since that show ended, so it'll be cool to like go back to those characters. So I haven't seen that yet, but I want to.
All right. I didn't know that they revamped it. Like, hold up, HBO, why am I not getting ads for this? This is messed up. Yeah, I didn't get to see the SpongeBob movie, and I'm kind of mad about it.
Right, the SpongeBob movie. Maybe that's a good thing. Right. I haven't heard good things about it. Like I've heard like that's basically Nickelodeon's pilot for like a SpongeBob spinoff. So that was something that Steven Hillenburg was against, and that's not cool. Like. This was something that really meant a lot to him. And from what I've heard, doesn't seem great.
Listen, they can't do much else with SpongeBob. He, you know, we already know he's the ins and his outs of his life. I don't know how much more they could do with them.
But the animation does look awesome. So I'll probably...
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 3D, like... I wanted to see it. But anyway... what is your most anticipated for 2021?
You skipped Soul.
Oh shit. I did. I'm so mad. Okay. So yeah, I wanted to see Soul too. And we didn't get to see that because of COVID.
Yeah. So about Soul, I think I like there was an ad on for Disney Plus, and I think they're airing it. They're putting that on there. On Christmas, I think. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's probably going to be like $30.
We paid $30 for Scoob. I don't mind. You know, like. I would much rather watch Soul than Scoob any day. No offense to Scooby-Doo, but.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. So my most anticipated for 2021, yeah. You asked?
Yes.
Well, have you seen the Demon Slayer series that came out like 2019?
Yes.
Yes.
Amazing show.
Well, there's like a movie, Mugen Train, that that came out recently, and it actually is like the third highest grossing, like the third highest grossing movie or the third highest grossing anime movie, beating out Your Name recently. So a lot of people are excited about this, and it's canon, so it continues this story. Really looking forward to that. Pinocchio, which is directed by Guillermo del Toro, and one of the writers for this is actually Patrick what's his name? Patrick McHale,
Swayze? I think.
No.
Patrick Stewart.
No, Patrick McHale, I think, yeah, that's his name, who was the creator of Over the Garden Wall. So we're looking forward to that. And something that hasn't been announced yet, but I'm really hoping they announce, is a Chainsaw Man adaption. That definitely needs to happen. Like, I would give my left nut for that.
What is Chainsaw Man? What is that?
It's a manga. It's about, it's about a lot of things, but okay, so first off, this series is better off experienced than told. But put simply, it's about a guy who is in debt to the Yakuza, and he has to fight these devils to, like, pay off his debt. So these devils are like these powerful creatures. And he actually has like a pet devil that's in the shape of a chainsaw, but like something bad happens and he ends up dead, but he fuses with his chainsaw dog and he becomes Chainsaw Man. And it's just, this is the story that I was telling you about. That's like a combination of Daryl Hedoro and Devilman Crybaby, and it's like funny, it's gory, it's like tragic, it's awesome.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to check that out. Okay. My most anticipated for 2021 is Space Jam 2, because who isn't looking forward to seeing Michael Jordan in his late, how old is he? Like 50 now?
Michael Jordan's supposed to be in this?
I'm pretty sure. Like, why would you make Space Jam 2 without Michael Jordan? Is it supposed to be Kobe Bryant? Is that who is supposed to replace him?
I think you can't do that.
Yeah, that's my point. It's like, they literally, like, that would be an insult. What'd you say about what?
LeBron James, right? Like, that was, he was supposed to take over, right?
Is that what it is? LeBron?
I think so. Michael Jordan, you know, he's busy being Hitler, so I don't really know about him.
What do you mean he's busy being Hitler? He's busy killing the Jews? What?
Because of his mustache. He has a Hitler stash.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
Hold up. Why? I don't think he can grow. Maybe he just can't grow on the sides of his upper lip, because that is ridiculous.
I think it's a stylistic choice. Wait, so did you type in Michael Jordan Hitler or something?
I typed in Michael Jordan mustache.
Yeah.
He can grow a full mustache. What is his problem?
Okay, so maybe he was inspired by Chaplin and not Hitler. That's my only guess.
Well, we'll take that. So yeah, hopefully Michael Jordan was going to be in there. It doesn't come out, I think it comes out in like the next couple months too, which is like super soon.
Cool.
Right. Okay, so yeah, I think that's pretty much it for our 2020 retrospective, reminding you of everything that we've done this year. You're welcome. As far as next week, we will be talking about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, like we talked about before, but now we're actually going to get to it this time for real. Maybe.
We promise.
Yeah, and thank you again to Telco and Sabrina and Michael for coming on the podcast and talking to us about your experience and your expertise. Thank you again. And to those of you who listen, have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.